How can you make a difference on this crazy planet? Listen to nature-inspired stories and interviews with environmental educators for some new ideas. Sustainable Living News writer, nature walker, and youth educator Wendy Natterney-Fashon hosts the Story Walking Radio Hour to talk about issues that matter and to introduce you to people who are coming up with creative, sensible solutions. Let's engage with Earth, with spirit, and with one another, heart to heart, to solve problems and co-create more meaningful life stories. Tune in to Nature's Loving Vibes every Monday at 9 a.m. and 9 p.m. here on the Dream Vision 7 Radio Network.
Welcome to the Story Walking Radio Hour. I'm your host, Wendy Natterney-Fashon, here on the syndicated Dream Vision 7 Radio Network. For a full schedule of this channel's inspiring programming, go to DreamVision7, that's numeral 7, radio.com. You'll find the Storywalking Radio Hour show listed under the Sustainable Living tab, or you can access it through my website at storywalking.com. Thank you to our sponsor, Natural Awakenings, Greater Boston, Rhode Island, Healthy Living Magazine. Listeners, you can subscribe to the digital issue at www.naturalawakeningsboston.com. There's all kinds of great articles and things there about living more sustainably and just, you know, healthy living as well. Today, we speak Earth with guest Tanya Marion, podcaster and founder of Talaterra. The mission of Talaterra is to change the field of freelance environmental education to make it a sustainable career choice. By fostering an understanding of how freelance educators work in their communities, Talaterra is able to bring attention to the depth, breadth, and knowledge of those working in this capacity. The name Talaterra means speak Earth. We all have the ability to speak Earth through the work we do every day. And as we speak Earth, we elevate environmental awareness among all those who are listening, and we inspire both the behavioral and systemic changes needed to bring about positive global impact. Tanya Marion is a podcast host and environmental correspondent. Her projects draw on her experiences working as an independent environmental education professional, first as a full-time editor, educator, and bookseller at Art Plante, and now as a podcast producer, writer, researcher, and network builder. Her current project explores how freelance environmental professionals contribute to environmental literacy. She believes that independent professionals are overlooked and that their professionalism and contributions to lifelong learning need to be recognized. Documenting their work is important because it fills the knowledge gap about how people learn about science and the environment outside of the classroom. Tanya is also a contributor to the Carmen Almanac, and we'll be talking about that as well. Harnessing the power of voice, Tanya connects independent environmental education professionals with new audiences. I was honored to be a podcast guest on Talaterra to talk about my work as a youth educator and environmental podcaster. And now I am thrilled to be able to reciprocate and introduce Tanya to all of you. Now, I'm curious to hear how Tanya got into podcasting, and we'll be asking her about that in a little bit. But first, I'd like to talk a bit about how I got into podcasting and why. It's a rather funny story. It was actually a calling. And, you know, not all callings make sense when they happen, or they may make sense yet may still take you by surprise and push you out of your comfort zone. Nonetheless, by heeding the guidance and placing faith in God's mysterious process, everything does seem to work itself out. In early 2011, I received angelic guidance telling me, "You as a child of God, listen to the music as no other. Children are in your dreams. Play with them, teach them, and influence them so that they become the future leaders of our society. You have a gift for naturally connecting with the wee ones. Use it." I was told to create a radio show for wee ones, MP3s, so that they can story walk. That was the specific guidance. And the guidance also alluded to the story of Peter Pan and to becoming the Wendy girl that tells stories and leads and cares for children. In being called to awaken my inner child and create audio stories for children, I was being challenged to try something really new and different. I had no idea how to produce audios, and I had never written or published a children's story. I considered the relevance of the message. My mother named me for the storybook character, Wendy. Yes, that's true. And through my life, I've identified with Wendy's struggle to grow up and become part of the serious and busy world of adults. After working my tail off as an adult for 15 years, I became a mother and discovered that my favorite part of being an adult was spending time with my children, reading stories, doing arts and crafts, and playing hide-and-seek outside around our wooded property. Motherhood allowed me to reclaim and reindulge my inner child. That is, until my children left me to grow up themselves. When that happened, I felt a strong need to hold on to my inner child. And now that I found her again, that's why I started facilitating, or when I found her again, that was when I started facilitating after-school outdoor play programs. You see, there's something really special about spending time with children. They have natural abilities that can be lost with age. Nick Polizzi, founder of The Sacred Science, wrote something recently about the superpowers that children have. He wrote, "When the news headlines are filled with fear and uncertainty, it's easy to be thrown off keel and get into our heads. But the elders have taught for thousands of years that personal evolution doesn't occur without a little ruckus, just like new seeds won't sprout unless the soil is churned. There are many real challenges in the world, and as we try to wrap our heads around them, it's important that you remember to do so with mindfulness and compassion. A great place to look for inspiration is our children. A child doesn't recoil in the face of challenge. They're perpetually curious, resilient as warriors, and in a constant state of play. We grown-ups somehow lose that superpower as we get older, and the perceived stakes of our actions become higher." Polizzi's message resonates with me. As we try to wrap our heads around the environmental challenges we face today, I would urge everyone to take time to go outdoors, look at the world through a child's eyes, listen with a child's ears, and feel the earth beneath your feet. Tune in with awe and wonder, because this is where we can find the answers. Shortly after receiving my calling to create audios for children, I met voice coach Donna Mack, who offered her coaching services and time in her recording studio. And around the same time, nature started giving me stories to tell. I stepped outside with a childlike awareness, and nature offered to become my storytelling teacher. No other can speak earth quite the way that nature can. However, you must take the time to listen. In due course, through my audios and podcasts, I've been able to share nature stories and lessons with kids and adults. And here is some of what I've learned. Nature's first lesson to me was to slow down and just be. Be quiet. Be still. Close my eyes and find a state of inner calm. When the world or my work overwhelms me, this is what I do, and it helps. There's a well-known quote from Ralph Waldo Emerson. Adopt the pace of nature. Her secret is patience. Consider the slow growth of a seedling or the extremely slow erosion of mountains over time. You see, in nature, everything has its own rhythm and its own time to flourish. While sipping my tea this morning, I flipped through a promotional copy of a magazine that arrived in yesterday's mail. Fast Company, about the five most innovative companies in the world. The contents made my head spin. Too much happening in the world and happening way too fast. I set the magazine aside after reading for about 10 minutes. You know, I had hopped off that speeding bus 15 years ago. Whew, Fast Company. It all seemed so out of sync with our natural lives, our natural inclinations. So slowing down. Nature's second lesson, which goes hand in hand with slowing down, is to open our eyes and ears, look around, listen, watch closely, notice everything, and study the details. When I focus my own natural senses, this leads to some kind of clarity, sparks my curiosity, and leads to inquiry, which leads to discovery, natural discovery. It's so wonderful. The third lesson was to rest and reflect on what I see and experience. And this inspires my writing. I began my audio project for kids by writing three short stories, each no more than 10 minutes long, to teach what nature taught me. Then together with Donna Mack and musician Kathy Clastatorch, we created a children's story CD titled Fiddlesticks, a children's radio show, basically. This project led to the creation of the Story Walking Radio Hour I do now, with spirit-inspired stories and nature-inspired content that's meant to appeal not really for the wee ones, but for teens, teachers, parents, and grandparents, and other adults, to help them connect with the inner child's superpowers of curiosity, resilience, and playfulness. The messaging remains the same. Slow down, relax, listen, visualize, imagine, reflect, and then move forward. The three Fiddlesticks audio stories are available through my storywalking.com website. The stories are supported by an introduction, transitional reflections, and a conclusion, providing seven audio files sequenced into a radio-style format. Anyone can download these MP3s from the website. You'll find them under the Playtime tab. Play them one at a time. Take them in small bites. Play them for your children, your grandchildren, or your own inner child. Sit back, close your eyes, and listen. Remain in stillness for a couple minutes after listening to each story. Then ask yourself or ask your children questions about the story and the music. What instruments are heard behind each story? And how do different instruments reflect what is going on in the story? When does the tempo go slowly and when does the tempo speed up? What does the effect of the tempo have on your own emotion? Again, this is using our senses. Play the story again another time and revisit these questions. Repetition is a powerful tool for internalizing information, deeper listening, deeper understanding, improved retention, heightened mindfulness, deeper thinking, higher intelligence, deeper insight, greater imagination. Put the learning into practice. Set aside time to go for a slow walk and ask your children what they see. Ask them what they hear. Is it bees? Is it birds? Is it an animal rustling in the leaves? Bring along a paper bag and allow yourself and your children to collect treasures, things that are interesting, things that are just lying on the path or sidewalk, a leaf, a seed pod, a flowering weed, a curious piece of bark, or even pieces of litter. whatever captures their fancy and sparks a moment of inquiry. Engage all the senses, including the senses of imagination and humor. Storywalking audios and podcasts show how these walks lead to curiosity and learning and opportunities to hear Earth and speak Earth. I mentioned that we all have the opportunity to speak Earth through the work we do every day, even through parenting and school teaching. And when we do this, we are, in essence, doing freelance environmental education. Look around and listen. Independent environmental education professionals are everywhere. They are not just people with degrees in biology or environmental science. They're writers, designers, engineers, lawyers, farmers, and the list goes on. Your next door neighbor, your best friend. All speaking Earth, these voices come together to inspire real global impact. Our guest, Tanya Marion, is here to tell us more about this and about the work she does to inspire lifelong environmental learning. Get ready for a fun conversation, because here we go. Hey, Tanya, welcome.
Hi, Wendy. Thank you so much for inviting me.
Yes, thank you for being here. Got a lot to talk about today.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, let's jump in. I thought maybe we'd begin with this question. Where did your passion for Earth begin?
Well, let's see. I guess there's two answers to this question. From a learning school standpoint, I was a biology major. My background was organismal biology, so it was the botanies and the zoos and zoologies and all that. But I think really that passion didn't kick in until years later, to the extent that I'm doing things, you know, now, the way that I'm doing things now. And so I went to school to teach college biology at the community college. That was my end goal. But then, of course I did that in grad school, and then I did it as adjunct faculty at a couple community colleges, and then I became a grumpy adjunct, and so I stopped doing that. And so I knew I couldn't be in the classroom in that way. And so it was the year after I had turned my grades in for the last time, my mom said, "Hey, do you want to take this botanical illustration class at the Arboretum?" And so I said, "Sure." And so I took the class, and then just things clicked and fell into place. And I realized I already had books about women illustrators and botanical, prints on the walls and just things that I would naturally gravitate to on spring break and summer break, and when I wasn't writing labs and grading papers and all that. And so I would say it was at that moment, that was the first step. And then what followed that was that, I was taking botanical illustration classes, and the people I was learning with could capture plants on paper just elegantly, but they didn't always know the names of the parts that they were drawing and painting, and which I didn't faze me at all, because everyone was learning new things. But then at some point I heard stamen, the reproductive parts, the male reproductive parts of plants. I heard stamen called these thingies one too many times, and I said, "Okay, wait, I can fix this. I know how to fix it." and so then I started what my previous endeavor, which started off as an artist herbarium and newsletter, and then it grew into other things. So that's how it started, and I guess that would be the year 2001, I guess.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Nice. Yeah, I love plants and drawing plants and observing plants. It's just a lot of fun. And I've done that with kids, and they've enjoyed it as well. So tell us about your path in becoming an independent educator. How did you make that shift from botanical illustration well, first add a professor of botanical illustration to them, where'd you go from there?
Yeah. Well, with my previous endeavor, I was, of course, writing a newsletter and was creating the herbarium. And I also had affiliated with that a bookstore. And so it was a traveling bookstore. It was an online bookstore. I was a member bookstore of the American Booksellers Association. And this was very early days. This was 2005 or 6 or something like that when I started that part of it. And so I would do garden shows and educational events and things like that. And that was really started this long path of working independently and being involved in all sorts of community events and activities. And in hindsight, I can see that being adjunct faculty is also being an independent educator because, you know, your contracts are only semester long and you're always looking for work and all that. And things just developed from there, and I just became more involved with all sorts of different things and events. And then that endeavor ran its natural course after about 16 years. And then, you know, I was wondering about all the other independent people who I'd meet at events. And I never had a chance mm-hmm. to speak with them. And so when that previous, all that activity came to an end, I wanted to, I kind of followed a hunch, you know, that there was a story here about who these independent educators are. And that there was something there, there was a story there to be told. And so that's what I wanted to explore. And so I brought the idea into a workshop where you can explore ideas like this. It was the Alt MBA, and I finished that up, and then I just took off running from there. I started launched a survey. I had 43 independent and formal science educators completed the survey, and I learned all sorts of wonderful things from them, very helpful things, and it confirmed to me that there is a story here, and so I just kept moving with it. And then the first year of the project, in addition to the survey, I had I hosted two roundtable discussions at two different conferences, environmental conferences, and mm-hmm. Things just been rolling. They just keep moving on from there. Yeah.
That's really cool. So what led you to eventually go into the podcasting piece to decide that that would be a platform to explore? Because that's, like, for me, that was really way out of my comfort zone. I don't know how it felt to you, but it's different. And how did you go that way? Mm-hmm, as opposed to writing or some other avenue.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yes. Yeah, so with my previous website, which is still up, I was a heavy blogger, and I would interview people. I had a featured guest every month. I had a teaching and learning column, and so I was writing a lot. And I wanted to do something different, so I decided to explore podcasting because the podcasting fellowship, it was one of the Akimbo workshops, came up. But really, my first taste in podcasting happened in 2010, and at a conference for the National Association for Interpretation, and it was a pre-conference workshop, and I was curious, and so I enrolled in the workshop, and you know, we got to go out onto the Las Vegas Strip and record sounds and bring all these sounds and all this material back into the conference room, but putting together a file and some type of story did not go well, and very few of us actually finished, had a complete piece. And for me, it was very frustrating because it was something entirely different, as you said. It's very, very different. It's a whole different skill set. And, you know, at the time, it felt like math class to me because everyone was making progress but me. And it was just frustrating, and I couldn't quite catch on or work fast enough, you know, as fast as everybody else. And I walked out of that workshop thinking, this is ridiculous. Who would do this? And then I just forgot about it and went on with the conference. Always wonderful conference, NA conferences.
Yeah.
And it was,
you know what? Okay, you know, we're gonna interrupt here for a minute and leave our guests hanging because we're gonna take our first station break. And I can't wait to hear the next part. I'm your host, Wendy Nattery-Vachon, here on the syndicated Dream Vision 7 Radio Network. And you're listening to Storywalking Radio Hour. The purpose and mission of the Storywalking Radio Hour is to share stories that open minds and foster positive difference-making here on planet Earth. Learn more about Storywalking and find more of our podcasts at storywalking.com. We'll be back in a moment to talk about Speak Earth with guest Tanya Marion, founder of Talaterra, podcast producer, writer, researcher, and network builder.
How can you make a difference on this crazy planet? Listen to nature-inspired stories and interviews with environmental educators for some new ideas. Sustainable Living News writer, nature walker, and youth educator Wendy Nattery-Vachon hosts the Story Walking Radio Hour to talk about issues that matter and to introduce you to people who are coming up with creative, sensible solutions. Let's engage with Earth, with spirit, and with one another, heart to heart, to solve problems and co-create more meaningful life stories. Tune in to Nature's Loving Vibes every Monday at 9 a.m. and 9 p.m. here on the Dream Vision 7 Radio Network.
How can parents help their teenage children navigate the challenging years between childhood and adulthood? How might parents continue to gently exert a positive influence during this critical stage of growth and development? Read The Difference Maker, written by parent and Storywalking radio host Wendy Nattery-Vachon. This book shares the story of her late son Neil, their relationship, and the wisdom of an enlightened teenager. The Difference Maker is a coming-of-age collection of stories that parents can share and discuss with their kids. Go to the storywalking.com website, download The Difference Maker, and become inspired.
Why would God design a heart-shaped flower that cries? In a picture book titled The Angel Heart, a curious child picks such a flower and carefully pulls it apart, one poetic petal at a time, to reveal the answer. Discover the miracle of the heart and its role in providing comfort, joy, and peace. Written in the language of love, this uplifting story is sure to open up conversations about emotions, spiritual beliefs, the circle of life, or even fairy magic. Give your favorite child the gift of love. The Angel Heart by Wendy Nattery-Vachon. Available through Amazon and Balboa Press.
This is Dream Vision 7 Radio Network, uniting mankind with universal love. Our shows are created from the heart, bringing each listener to a place of divine enlightenment. Breathe, relax, and enjoy. Let life flow.
Welcome back to the Storywalking Radio Hour here on the syndicated Dream Vision 7 Radio Network. I'm your host, Wendy Nattery-Vachon, and we're talking about Speak Earth with guest Tanya Marion, podcaster and founder of Talaterra. She's a writer, a researcher, network builder as well, and we were talking about her experiences venturing into podcasting. So, Tanya, let's pick up your story.
Yeah. So after my initial experience at that conference, podcasting reentered my life in 2018, and I took the podcasting workshop because I thought it would be a good way to have people hear the voices of the people who I was interviewing instead of just reading their words, and it worked out as a medium for me the way that I had hoped and I had envisioned. And really now I've gone, way into the whole field. I've been taking the classes with podcasters and producers like from NPR, and been learning from independent journalists. And So audio journalism is very much a big presence in my life at the moment. And it's very different from how it all started in 2010 at the conference.
Yeah. So so you've been taking podcast workshops. If there's anything you would recommend to our listeners, we could list them in the resource section, I think, on the webpage would be fun. So if there are people who are interested in learning more, I think, part of it's just diving in and just doing it. And the more you do it, I'm sure you would agree, the easier it gets and the better it gets.
So always
lots to learn. So tell us more about the ongoing evolution of Talaterra and what you provide to members. Actually, before we even do that, let's do that, and then we'll get back to talking about some of your podcast guests and some things you've been doing there, unless you want to incorporate that into talking about Talaterra. But, talk more about Talaterra.
Okay. Well, I started it to really provide a space for people who work independently, one, so that they can learn about each other and so that other people can learn about them. The ideally, the big goal here that I have is to, one, show that there are professionals out in communities who work independently and in all sorts of different ways. Another objective of mine is to introduce them as prospective partners to entities who might usually reach out to organizations or museums or nature centers or schools or other types of larger entities, and if they're looking for a new partner, and then also, as you've mentioned earlier, to help make this field more sustainable. There's a lot of conversation in the field of environmental education now, especially post-COVID, about the low pay in the field and making the field more diverse. And so I just wanted to add a different layer to that conversation. And so it started out as I started out making space for these professionals. I started out with a co-working space, and I launched that, unfortunately, right before COVID hit. And people signed up for it. I had just over 40 people in the first one, and it was very structured, and I had prompts, and it was very active. I planned out 3 months in advance to make it interactive. COVID was a challenge. And so I had that up until September of that year. So I opened it late January until September of that year. In October, I opened up another gathering space. Again, there were some 40 people in there. But I could never quite make it where people would talk to me. They would talk to me, but they wouldn't necessarily interact with each other. And so what those two experiences taught me is that, for me, community needs to look differently. Doesn't look that way. And so, from there, then I've also been creating other spaces. So I launched a summit. I had a summit to test that idea, and we had all sorts of different guest speakers. And right now, my community that I'm building, I am using events. Short, like 30-minute gatherings, events about different topics. I've started using the Luma platform, which is a way for to host a master calendar, and then other people can add their events to that calendar as well, and they are in complete control of their events. And so what they're doing, if they share their event on the calendar that I host, and they're putting their events next to the events of other environmental leaders. And so so that's how I'm working on building community right now.
Okay. And in terms of your podcast, how many podcast interviews have you done? You've done quite a lot. since you started in 2019?
Yes, I have
how many?
128 episodes is where I'm at right now.
Wow.
Yeah.
And so you've been introducing a lot of different independent people through the Talaterra podcast. What do you say are some of the most interesting people or some more maybe unusual people you've had online? Or is there a favorite one you've done maybe recently?
Well, they're all interesting, and I on purpose go out to reach to people in other fields. So they're not all traditional environmental educators, and so I've had conversations with the game designer and the scientific illustrator and people who created a cookbook. One person created a cookbook about foraging wild herbs, and I also spoke mm-hmm. with her illustrator of that book, who is a well-known established botanical artist. And I've spoken with nature journalers, John Muir Laws. You or your audience may be familiar with his work. I had a conversation with him. I've had good mm-hmm. conversations with authors and educators and some researchers as well, because the work that they do informs the work of what my audience of community educators do. So for example, Marika Hecht is in Pennsylvania. She does her research about establishing a naturalist identity. And so I spoke with her about that, her initial research. And then when her dissertation came out, I added her dissertation to her episode. It's been wild. The storytellers, Diane Wisga, I've had storytellers and smart storytellers like Diane on.
I had her on too.
Yeah.
In fact, that's how you and I connected was through Diane. She's like, you two need to meet. I'm like, yeah, we do. After I heard mm-hmm. about you. Our work is very much in alignment. And that's why I want my listeners who've been enjoying this show to know there's a lot more shows out there besides mine that are doing a very, similar thing. A lot more people that you can meet. Through these mm-hmm. podcasts. And I think podcasting is just a wonderful, wonderful tool mm-hmm. to be able to meet these people. Absolutely.
Yeah.
And I think, just the fact that you can listen to a podcast at your own leisure anytime, while you're cooking, while you're out walking or gardening or whatever, they're so convenient. And they're just, I think, so, it's just easy listening. You don't have to have your eyes focusing, you don't have to put everything focusing on that. Your eyes could be doing something else or just relaxing, just closing your eyes and just enjoying the conversation, right?
Mm-hmm.
So much of what we have on today is screen and it's visual and it's lights flashing here and there. It's like almost too much. I don't know if you mm-hmm. feel the same way, but.
Yeah, you don't have to stay in one spot. And it is, I've always enjoyed listening other people tell their story and listening to them through their voice. It's just a whole different experience.
And I love hearing what their journey's been like, because it's not always easy, right? I mean, you mm-hmm. mentioned some of the challenges you have, and you try things, and not everything works. And so you go, okay, I tried that. Let's try something else, right?
Mm-hmm.
You try different things. Yeah, and you find out what does work. So, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yep. Yeah, and that's part of the draw and the challenge and the excitement for me is to try new things. You only learn by doing. You only know by doing. You can how many times have I learned the lesson where you can think up a good idea and it looks and feels perfect in your mind, and then, living it out loud is always different, and it's always a learning experience, always.
Isn't it though? Isn't it though? Yeah. And sometimes I'll say, oh, why did I do that? And I'll go, no, it was a good thing I did that because mm-hmm. I learned a lot. And it's all mm-hmm. about the learning that happens when you try these different things. And it forms you for, informs you for the next effort, I think, mm-hmm. very much so.
Yeah.
Anyway, it is time for another break here. And I want to, we'll be back in a sec, but listeners, I want to thank you for joining us here on the Storywalking Radio Hour. Please help us grow our community of listeners and difference makers so we can work together to build a better world. All the Storywalking podcasts are free online. Go to the storywalking.com website to learn more. I'm your host, Wendy Navney-Fashon, and we're talking about Speak Earth with guest Tanya Marion, founder of Talaterra, podcast producer, writer, researcher, and network builder. And our conversation will continue after this break.
How can you make a difference on this crazy planet? Listen to nature-inspired stories and interviews with environmental educators for some new ideas. Sustainable Living News writer, nature walker, and youth educator Wendy Natterney-Fashon hosts the Story Walking Radio Hour to talk about issues that matter and to introduce you to people who are coming up with creative, sensible solutions. Let's engage with Earth, with spirit, and with one another, heart to heart, to solve problems and co-create more meaningful life stories. Tune in to Nature's Loving Vibes every Monday at 9 a.m. and 9 p.m. here on the Dream Vision 7 Radio Network.
Delight your kids with an enchanting journey by reading the Paper Doll Kids children's book by Deborah Beauvais and Janine Sullivan. There's even a catchy tune, Kids for Love Song, produced by Bob Sherwood and sung by kids just like yours. The story weaves around seven paper dolls flying around the world doing good deeds as they bring important attention to our endangered animal friends. There's even a magical ring with a universal message. Kids become interested in service projects, action through compassion, and planting seeds that nurture positive change. The Paper Doll Kids and Kids for Love Song are a production of the Kids for Love Project. Get the book now on Amazon Kindle and the song on CD Baby or iTunes.
High school student Neil Fashon dreamed of leading other young people away from hopelessness to helpfulness, from loneliness to friendship, and from inertia to difference making. Then, in college, he was diagnosed with terminal brain cancer. After Neil died at age 20, his mother, Wendy, began to sort through the memorabilia he'd accumulated over the years. Artwork, notebooks, journals, personal notes, and letters. She's assembled these memories into a timely ebook called The Difference Maker. Parents and teens will appreciate this collection of stories about kindness, resilience, faith, and love. Go to the storywalking.com website, download The Difference Maker, and become inspired.
Edicia is a U.S. nonprofit dedicated to the dream of ending childhood malnutrition for millions of children around the world. Through the manufacture of Plumpy Nut and other nutrient-rich, peanut-based ready-to-use foods, Edicia has already delivered life and hope to nearly 1 million children in over 26 developing countries. To find out how you can join Edicia's dream of ending childhood malnutrition, please visit ediciaglobal.org.
This is Dream Vision 7 Radio Network, uniting mankind with universal love. Our shows are created from the heart, bringing each listener to a place of divine enlightenment. Breathe, relax, and enjoy. Let life flow.
We're back with the Story Walking Radio Hour here on the syndicated Dream Vision 7 Radio Network. I'm your host, Wendy Natterney-Fashon, and we're talking about Speak Earth with guest Tanya Marion, founder of Talaterra, podcast producer, writer, researcher, and network builder. And Tanya, I wanted to ask you about the Carbon Almanac, because I know that's a project you've been involved in. So I was wondering what the story is of the Carbon Almanac, when and why it was created, and what role you've played in its creation and in its promotion, and where what's happened with it over the past couple of years.
Mm-hmm. Yes, wonderful. Yeah, absolutely. Well, the Carbon Almanac, it was, the founding editor was Seth Godin. Seth Godin is an author of many business and marketing books. He's a teacher and an overall just absolutely wonderful person. And so he read Ministry of the Future, and he was thinking a lot about climate and how difficult it is to have conversations about our changing climate. And so he came up with the idea to create an almanac. He's created many almanacs in over his career. He used to be a book packager. And so it's a format that felt right for this project. And so he started the project in September 2021. And he put out on his blog a call for volunteers to work on this project. I filled out that form, and then I got onto the project in October of 2021. And overall, the number of people who worked on this book are 300 people from 41 countries, and it was a nonstop, around-the-clock work, because everybody is, you know, scattered all over, and it's because of all the different time zones, this was a nonstop project, and it was fast, it was challenging, it was easily the best working experience that I've ever had, and so the book was finished in February. It was sent to the publisher, which is Penguin Random House. And then after the book was sent off, then the Almanac team started conversations about the resources that would accompany the book. And so then at that time, a lot of what-ifs were being tossed around. You know, what if there was a children's book? And what if about there was a podcast? And just all sorts of different ideas. And what came out of that are the free resources that you see now on the website. The thought to have a children's book turned in, a children's almanac turned into the book Generation Carbon. And Generation Carbon is available in 22 translations. One of them is in Dyslexi font. And a really exciting, since all of these materials have been published, one of the almanac team members in Italy and others in Italy have formed the first nonprofit that's kind of spun off the Almanac project. And so there's a Generation Carbon Association, and she's working with like schools across Italy and like 1,000 students. I mean, and what that team has been able to do has just been fantastic. And the book itself, the main almanac, has been translated into several languages. The most recent is Spanish. The Spanish translation is available for free online. That one can be downloaded. Other translations, it's been translated into Dutch, into Chinese, in Italian, and let me see. Oh, I'm just pulled a blank, but there are other languages for the main book, and like I said, the Spanish version is the most recent one, and I've had the opportunity to help with the Spanish team. The Spanish outreach team, and so they are working on getting that out to Spanish-speaking audiences. And I've brought that almanac and to environmental education events earlier this year to bring more attention to what's available. Let's see what else came from that project. There is an interactive tool called Connect the Dots. And that does, as the team who worked on that did a fantastic job of linking issues to actions. And it's hard to describe online here like this over the phone, you have to actually have to see it and interact with it. But if you went to the carbonalmanac.org and looked under the extras tab in the navigation menu, you'll see connect the dots, and definitely will take you there. So you can play with it and interact.
Thank you.
Yeah. And then there's an entire podcast network also that has been spun off. There's a podcast for kids. There is a podcast that features conversations with the people who worked on the book. There's a podcast that features conversations that are happening across the globe. That's the Carbon Connection podcast. And then there is a podcast called Carbon Sessions, which is everyday conversation with everyday people. And that podcast is now 200 episodes strong. And so that team is doing a fantastic job. Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. And then there's a photo book too. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
There's
Go
what?
Ahead. I'm sorry. There's a photo book where we had a partnership with Getty Images. It features some of a lot of their images. It's a 3-part photo book, which is also observable online, and you can get it online. And all these resources are free.
Wow. So this just started in really late 2021, right?
Yes.
That's amazing. A lot that's happened really fast.
mm-hmm.
A lot of great resources. So we'll definitely provide links for those on the podcast page. A lot of wonderful resources for parents, for teachers, for everybody, really. That's so cool.
Yes.
I love
it. Yes, and the Generation Carbon book, the adults really like that book as well. And so for Generation Carbon, you mentioned earlier in your opening comments about empowering children. And the book really does that. It encourages them to teach 5 adults. And throughout the book, it supports them in that effort in teaching adults about our changing climate and different topics. And so, the writing process happened quickly. And then in July, it was July 2022, there was the worldwide book launch. And we had on July 16th, we had a book signing that happened literally across the globe. It started in New Zealand and it ended in Hawaii. And there was a Zoom room that we opened up, and people who were hosting a book signing events, either at bookstores or at gift shops or on trails or on beach boardwalks, so wherever they were with the book to help bring attention to the book, if they could, they would log in to the Zoom room and people would, and then that way everybody could see what was happening in other parts of the world. Yeah, and that's how the it was officially kicked off in July of that year.
Wow, I mean, talk about a lot of people working together to make something happen, right? Oh, that's just absolutely fabulous. I love it. Anyway, so let's take just a couple more minutes. Talk about Talaterra, your website, so we can let people know what you've got there. Certainly, all your podcasts. They can find those there. What else do you have on the website?
On the website, there's a podcast. There is also a place, an events tab, and that is where I'm hosting conversations and inviting other people to add their events to this particular calendar. It's really a calendar of opportunity. So then they can add their event next to other environmental leaders, and that people can then go to that one calendar and see what's near them or see what's online and join whatever conversation is happening. And it's really flexible for the people who are hosting events. Like I said, they have complete control over their event. And if it's a fee-based event, they can set their fees and all that. And everything, of course, goes to them. Nothing passes through me at all. And so they are, like I said, in control of every little aspect of their event. And so we have that. And And yeah, and the podcast, and then there's a blog as well. The blog will be further developed as I get more and more into the journalism phase of this project. Start to write more and more about what I've learned and what I'm finding. And so that section will be developed a lot. And then also, you know, if people wanted to join the new mailing list to receive the newsletter, they can do so. There's different points on the website where you can subscribe to the newsletter. And when they do, they're taken to a page which is really a summary of the entire freelance project. And what's presented on that page is a freelance portfolio. So it's quick, easy links to different aspects of the website and to different activities. And so that's still applying on the website. Yeah.
Fantastic. Well, thank you, Tanya. It's time to conclude our episode today, but thank you for sharing your stories, your resources, your wisdom, all of it. Listeners, if you want to learn more about Tanya and Talaterra, we'll provide those resource links related to today's shows on our Dream Vision 7 Radio Network podcast page. And it's, talaterra.org, correct? They want to go directly to the website right now. If you enjoyed this podcast, please share it with friends and family. Please help us grow our community of listeners and difference makers so we can work together to build a better world. All the Story Walking podcasts are free online, as well as the Talaterra podcast. Find those free online. Go to storywalking.com website to learn more about this show, talaterra.org to learn more about Tanya's work. The Story Walking Radio airs on syndicated Green Vision 7 Radio Network every Monday at 9 a.m. and 9 p.m. Eastern Time. You can listen online or on your mobile device anywhere, anytime, while you're out walking or gardening or while you're inside preparing dinner or sipping a warm cup of tea. Thank you for joining us here today on the Story Walking Radio Hour. I'm your host, Wendy Natterney-Fashon, with Tanya Marion, and we wish you all the very best as we move forward into our lifelong learning adventures.
Once again, the Story Walking Radio Hour has covered a lot of ground. Please join Wendy Natterney-Fashon next time for a new edition of the Story Walking Radio Hour. This show airs every Monday at 9 a.m. and 9 p.m. Listen live on DreamVision7Radio.com, where you can also access archives of previous Story Walking Radio Hour episodes. Find them under the Sustainable Living section and visit the storywalking.com website, where you can contact Wendy to learn more about the practice of story walking.
This is Dream Vision 7 Radio Network, uniting mankind with universal love. Our shows are created from the heart, bringing each listener to a place of divine enlightenment. Breathe, relax, and enjoy. Let life flow.